The forecast opened with a comprehensive picture of the present. In 2005, the world's 6.4 billion people consumed about 245 million barrels per day of oil-equivalent energy, that is, actual barrels of oil and other liquids, 84 million of those, and the equivalent of 150 million barrels per day of other sources of energy, such as natural gas, coal, hydropower, nuclear power, biomass, wind, and solar power. To calculate how this portrait might change by 2030, the corporation's analysts first adopted the World Bank's prediction that the world's population would grow to 8 billion. They then examined, one by one, the economic growth prospects for about 100 different countries and regions worldwide. Historically, ExxonMobil's analysts believed, the pace of a country's economic growth typically explained about two-thirds of its changes in energy consumption. Population changes explained only about one-third. Economic activity, in other words, not the number of people, would be the most important factor in future energy demand. When they added up all of their individual country predictions, ExxonMobil's analysts concluded that the world's economy would grow on average by about 3% per year until 2030. In each country, they also examined what types of energy were likely to be consumed, how much transportation fuel for cars and trucks, and how much energy for generating electric power. They assumed, based on the historical experiences of the United States and Europe, that as poor people around the world grew richer, they would buy more and more cars. They calculated that national populations would feel sated in their automobile consumption only when they reached about 800 cars per 1,000 people, a rate that America and the European Union were approaching. The ExxonMobil forecasters made additional assumptions about the rate at which hybrid cars were likely to be adopted, the rate at which office buildings and refrigerators would become more energy efficient, the rate at which wind farms and nuclear power plants would be built, and the rate at which governments around the world would impose taxes on carbon-based fuels or caps on greenhouse gas emissions. They concluded that worldwide energy demand would grow by about 35% overall by 2030, and that demand for oil and gas liquids would rise by about 22% to 108 million barrels per day. Far from a green or clean energy future, they foresaw that energy-poor countries would burn fossil fuels increasingly as they industrialized. Flat or declining oil consumption in the United States and Europe, due in part to more efficient hybrid cars, would be more than offset abroad by gasoline consumption in Asia's fast-growing economies, particularly in China, where ExxonMobil's forecasters expected that the number of cars and light trucks in service would grow from about 12 million in 2005 to about 110 million in 2030. By comparison, there were about 220 million vehicles in the European Union in 2005 and about 240 million in the United States. The transportation sector, cars, pickup trucks, heavy trucks, airplanes, ships, and trains, was the most important factor in the global market for liquid oil. Three-quarters of the roughly 20 million barrels of oil the United States consumed each day was as transportation fuel. The rest went to industrial uses, such as the manufacture of plastics. Virtually no oil went to generate electricity. Coal, natural gas, hydroelectric, and nuclear provided the main sources of electric power generation. It drove the analysts and forecasters in ExxonMobil's strategic planning department in Irving crazy when they heard radio talk show hosts and politicians advocate that the United States should quickly build more windmills to free itself from dependency on oil imports from the Middle East. Unless all electric cars and vehicles spread very rapidly in the United States, windmill construction would have little impact on the amount of foreign oil the United States consumed. Cohen's public affairs colleagues digested the 2030 analysis into a series of PowerPoint slides and texts. After 2004, the forecast became the predominant topic of speeches and briefings delivered by ExxonMobil executives and managers around the United States and in Europe. ExxonMobil systematically scheduled private briefings with policymakers, background sessions at think tanks, talks at universities and colleges, presentations to Wall Street analysts, and speeches at economic clubs and chambers of commerce. The rollout had all the automated, charmless tone of other OIMS-influenced campaigns by the corporation. A tsunami of color-coded pie charts, bar graphs, and global maps read out unemotionally by executives in dark suits. By placing ExxonMobil's presentations, speeches, and lobbying briefs in a dense vernacular of statistics and economic forecasting, the 2030 campaign sought to reposition the corporation by eschewing political and ideological arguments that often provoked instant and emotional resistance from ExxonMobil's opponents. Instead, the corporation would let the facts, as ExxonMobil's analysts conceived them, speak for them. Realistic and reality check became two of Lee Raymond's favorite phrases as he presented and analyzed the 2030 forecast in public appearances.
"I note that Raymond is no longer seeking to gainsay the science behind climate change," Andrew Warren, director of the Association for the Conservation of Energy in Great Britain, wrote in frustration after sitting through one of the chief executive's presentations in London early in 2005. "Instead, he simply predicts an endless rise in the demand for the fossil fuels his company sells, and maintains that there is nothing that can be done to alter that."
This was, in crude summary, the judgment ExxonMobil sought to infuse through its elite-targeted education campaign. Hardly anyone outside of the industry truly grasped the gargantuan scale of global energy production. Titanic changes in the patterns of energy use over decades would be required to create even modest changes in fuel consumption patterns. ExxonMobil's analysts did not downplay alternative energy's prospects. They projected that solar, wind, and other rising alternative sources would grow very rapidly until 2030, by more than 10% per year. Yet because of the concomitant increases in worldwide economic activity and population, at the end of the forecast period, wind and solar would still make up only about 2% of total supply. Growth in oil consumption was inevitable, ExxonMobil's analysts held, because the movement of large numbers of poor people into wealthier lifestyles was also inevitable, particularly in Asia. Did anyone seriously expect middle-class Chinese or Indians to fashion their lifestyles and buy cars any differently from how Japanese, Koreans, Germans, or Californians had done? The oil industry's growth patterns would shift toward Asia, but the industry's expansion and profitability seemed assured.